You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So first up on the show today, producer Jack Marshall had a chat with Tara Nair about from Monash University in Melbourne about her study into medical ethics, looking at what doctors should do when parents request second best treatments for their children. To start off, Tara gave an overview of her study.
Our study was looking into what doctors should do when parents object to the recommended treatment for their child and request a suboptimal substitute, so whether that be more harmful or more expensive. That reason is based on either religious or a non-religious sort of personal reason. So the specific questions we wanted to answer were, how much harm can doctors allow parents to choose for their children? How much are we, as the, I guess, the public healthcare system willing to pay for these choices? And does the reason make a difference? So whether it's religious or non-religious, does that sort of, should that make a difference and does it make a difference? So we did two things. On the one hand, we looked at all the ethical theories that are out there and assessed the existing literature. On the other hand, we ran a survey to gauge, I guess, what the public thinks. So to compare the theory to what people actually think. In terms of the theory, they were either really strict and didn't really allow parents to add any harm at all, or they were sort of ambiguous and didn't really give a straight answer, whereas the survey found that a majority of our participants allowed parents to request something that would impose a small harm. So specifically what our survey found was a 5% increased risk of death, but anything more than that was overruled. But there were still significant proportions of the participants that allowed it, which is quite interesting. Interestingly, our survey did reveal a bias towards religion, where the participants were more likely to allow religious reasons to sort of be allowed and for parents to give more harm to their kids if it was in the name of religion.
Yeah, I didn't really understand that there was doctors and things can do something without a parent's permission and things like that. That was just kind of like interesting in itself. And so how does that really fit into the, like your study, how does it fit into the larger context of medical ethics?
Well, essentially this paper is talking about autonomy. So autonomy specifically being our right to have a say in our medical care and to be empowered to contribute to decision making, which is a really important issue in medicine and is quite rapidly progressing recently. So even over the last 20 to 30 years, there's been a really huge shift away from the old paternalistic, where you have to do what the doctor says and be grateful, to a sort of very patient-centered care type of medicine. But it is more grey when someone's making decisions on behalf of someone else. So if we're making decisions about ourselves, we have the right to subject our own bodies to any kind of harm, whereas it's a little bit more blurry when someone's making decisions on behalf of someone else. So like you're saying, you weren't sure if doctors could like just sort of overrule parents. It's only in these sort of situations where it's on behalf of someone else. So if I just said, no, I want to deny that treatment or not have that surgery, and it would be of significant harm to me, no one could really tell me not to. But if I was making that decision, say, on behalf of my child or my aging relative with dementia who can't make that decision for themselves, then I don't have like all of the say, and doctors and the government do have a role to play to sort of protect these people who aren't able to make decisions for themselves, including children.
The most recent case I can kind of think of is that case in England when there was like a baby with a little bit of had some brain damage, and the parents were fighting to kind of take them overseas, and the high courts and everything ruled that the baby couldn't leave hospital. And then so it was that kind of controversy in the news. And so I was wondering, what are some more kind of real life settings that this kind of study could be, you know, highlighted on or kind of used in a real world setting?
There are, I guess, sort of extreme cases like that one where it's a life or death issue, or often in the media it comes up in terms of Jehovah's Witnesses and them not really wanting to use blood products and that sort of conflict there. But even on a sort of more minute scale, these issues aren't uncommon. So the example we used in our case was a parent refusing a medication because it had meat products in it. So that could, there are many, I think there are thousands of medications that have products of beef and pork used in the, you know, making the capsule or in the medicine. And there are many reasons a parent might object to that. Specifically, they could be Muslim or Jewish and, say, not want a pork-derived medicine, or a Hindu might not even want a beef-derived medicine, or a vegan or a strong animal rights activist for completely non-religious reasons might not want that. And so that might be a source of conflict between a parent and a doctor, where the harm to the child might be increased by that decision. So it's, I guess, a more sort of day-to-day issue. But, yeah, definitely the life or death situations, like not wanting a blood product. Certain parents, anti-vax is a big issue at the moment. So there is a lot of evidence proving the benefits of vaccines, but some parents are against it. And that's another hot topic, I guess, in the media, of whether governments and doctors should just overrule and make vaccines compulsory. So yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of situations where it comes up between a conflict between parents and doctors, or carers and doctors.
Yeah, the vaccine debate's always in my perspective, it's not a debate, so it's always exactly. Interesting when it comes up. But I didn't know about this meat products and medicines and things. That sounds a bit crazy.
Yeah, it's actually quite surprising. Like an issue that was sort of, I guess, a bit too broad to tack on to the paper was, I guess, another issue of informed consent and whether parents even know that there are meat products in their medications. So the one that we chose as our example case is quite clearly animal-derived, because when newborn babies are born prematurely, they often lack a certain protein in their lungs. And that can cause something called respiratory distress syndrome, which is very, very common in premature babies. And that's often why they're in like a neonatal intensive care unit. And that protein, we've now discovered, I think over maybe 20, 30 years ago, that we can extract that from pig's lungs and sort of, I guess, spray it into the baby's lungs. And it has remarkable effects, and it's decreased death over the last 30 years by leaps and bounds. But yeah, that's quite directly, basically extracted directly out of pig's lungs. But other medications, even very simple ones that have a gelatin capsule, are often beef-derived gelatin. So yeah, it's very, very pervasive, I guess, in medications.
Yeah, no, it's not the kind of thing most people would know. And I'm sure most people probably wouldn't like that, or a large majority.
Exactly, yeah.
All right. And so I think just finally, I was wondering really... in these cases where, like, a doctor can override a parent's authority, how far can they actually go with that?
Well, it's difficult to tell, and I think hopefully this paper will be sort of, I guess, a starting point for discussion and working towards a solution. But I think at one end of the spectrum, it's the life or death, like that baby you mentioned. Was it in the UK where the courts and the doctors decided that the parents have to be overruled. Whereas at the other end of the spectrum, we don't want to be complete sort of, you know, strict, like where the government controls us. And we do give parents some choice and allow them to use their judgment. So I guess at a very simple example, we allow parents to drive their kids in cars and there's risks of car accidents. And we allow parents to smoke in front of their kids and there's risks of passive smoking. So we do give them their judgment and their personal, I guess, yeah, judgment there at that end. But yeah, it is difficult to tell where that line should be drawn. Yeah, it's an iffy situation. And I think current clinical practice would sort of be a bit in favour of the parents, I think, and it would only be in quite extreme situations where a doctor would make the, for lack of a better word, drama of overruling and taking it to court, and only where it's a really sort of difficult situation, they might talk to the hospital ethicist and it'd sort of be a big deal. So yeah, it is difficult to know where that line should be.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.